Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What issues will play into the 2010 race for Texas governor? With nearly 5 months to go before the primary election, the top two Republican contenders, incumbent Governor Rick Perry and Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, are getting the most attention, and they have wasted no opportunity to lob verbal ammunition in each other's direction. So how different are their platforms, really? And could next year's contests offer a Democratic candidate a real shot at an upset? Joining us to talk about it is veteran journalist Bud Kennedy of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Bud, welcome back. Always great to have you.
Good afternoon, Chris.
There is an interesting dimension in this contest lately because of these questions over the application of the death penalty, perhaps erroneously. What's really interesting here, though, is that you have two Republican candidates trying to find different ways to spin how the death penalty should work.
Well, you know, the death penalty isn't really as much of a question in the primary because, you know, in the primary, both candidates support the death penalty. You know, the death penalty comes into play later in the general election, and it really does come into play over the question of which Republican candidate is most likely to win in November. That is where it becomes a question in the primary. But, you know, the two candidates right now are not, you know, you don't hear Kay Bailey Hutchison talking about the death penalty itself, but what you do hear her saying is that Rick Perry's defense of the death penalty is overboard, that the things he's quoting Corsicana people is saying aren't correct, that maybe Rick Perry in defending the death penalty is going a little beyond the lines of sense and the facts of the case.
You have written that Governor Perry might need to tread carefully when it comes to campaigning against Senator Hutchison. Where do you think he might get himself into trouble?
Well, Chris, when it all comes down to not only March now, but I think we need to say March or April. I think there is entirely a possibility there might be a runoff in this primary. But when it all comes down to the final voting in the Republican primary in Texas, it doesn't matter how many criminals you executed. And it doesn't matter how loudly you campaigned to, you know, secede the for getting the U.S. out of getting Texas out of the U.S., as the bumper sticker says. What really matters in some ways is how you treated a lady. And that may be something that comes home to roost for the governor in the Republican primary. You know, that Kay Bailey Hutchison really started kind of the criticism and the meanness in the campaign. She started attacking Rick Perry first and said, it's time for a new governor. You know, look at his failure on unemployment insurance. Look at his failed business tax. She started going down all this, you know, pretty much criticizing everything that he'd done as governor in Texas over the last couple of years. But, you know, it's one thing to criticize what he had done as governor. It's been something else lately when Hutchison's campaign started, and he flew an airplane overhead at her campaign rollout with a big banner saying, Kay, release your tax returns. And to me, just watching this, you know, little biplane circling with a banner over Kay Bailey's head, it just, you know, it reminded me of the Wizard of Oz scene where they look up and it says, surrender Dorothy up in the sky. It really did feel like she was being picked on a little bit.
Well, when you say how you treat a lady, do you think it would be okay if he were running against John Cornyn and he pulled that sort of thing?
Well, you know, Rick Perry wants to prove to everybody that he is one tough hombre. And he set out in this campaign to be as tough and as mean as he could be and just to show that he's the toughest candidate. He did not treat Kay Bailey any differently than he would treat anyone else. But, you know, once he started criticizing her and once he started baiting her in so many ways with the Washington K website, the K bailout bucks that he passes out that have our dollar bills with, I won't say an unflattering photo, but just kind of a stern photo of Kay on them. And my gosh, his campaign had a cake made with one of those dollar bill pictures on it, a giant cake with a stern picture of Kay, and had it delivered to her campaign headquarters. I mean, some of the stunts and some of the events, you know, just make it look like he's kind of, you know, bearing down on her too much. He started out saying that he was going to treat her the same way he would treat any man. But the more he has, criticized her and, you know, using these kind of Paint Creek High School kind of stunts in some ways, you know, the more his numbers have gone down. Chris, when this campaign started, Kay Bailey Hutchison had a 25-point lead. It was 55-30 back in the spring. around the time of the Tea Parties and more talk about the bailout, her numbers started dropping. And then, of course, what really made the difference was when Governor Perry started getting national television coverage talking about secession. Well, even though it was this kind of bravado Texas thing that, you know, a lot of Texans have said at some time or another, you know, some more artfully than Governor Perry, perhaps, you know, but it got so much attention that his numbers started going up. And, you know, it, when you look at the numbers just of how many people knew who Kay Bailey Hutchison was, she was far ahead just in name identification in February and March, and he was not as well known. There were so many newcomers to Texas or, you know, voters who were interested in Washington politics but not state politics. Once he started getting on Glenn Beck, his numbers started climbing, and all of a sudden he turned the entire primary around and he's ahead. Well, now once he started criticizing her, and so what you have here is a campaign where she started out criticizing him, her numbers dropped. Then he started criticizing her and really kind of nastily poking fun at her. And you know, the one thing Perry said that I think was really bothered me was that he said, you know, I'm not sure whether I'm really going to have an opponent. I don't know whether anybody's running against me. And it just smacked of discounting the other two women in the race, Deborah Medina being the other candidate. It reminded me too much of men who say, oh, I don't even hear what that little lady's saying. I don't know whether she's running or not. But once, when Kay Bailey Hutchison was ahead and started criticizing Perry, her numbers dropped. When he took the lead and started poking fun at her and kind of pulling stunts against her, his numbers have started dropping. And now in the last poll we had, she had actually moved slightly ahead among voters overall, although he still had a narrow lead among Republicans.
Well, what kind of precedent is there for such a strong contender to challenge a sitting incumbent governor in the primary?
Well, in Texas, we have not had a campaign. I can't remember the last race like this that went to a runoff. I think the chance of a runoff in the primary slugfest is going to be unprecedented. And I think that you go back to Mark White and Governor Clements. You have the Briscoe race where there was so much division in the Democratic Party that allowed the Republican Bill Clements to come in and win. And you just have the two sides choosing up and the division in the party, you know, that will just result in more and more discord. But what you had back then in Texas was different because you really had two sides. You had conservative Democrats and moderate Democrats. You really had two factions within the party. Well, some of those conservative Democrats wound up going over and becoming Republicans. The Republicans took over Texas for the rest of the century. You know, now in the Republican Party, you really have conservative people and not as conservative people. And all the Republican voters really like Perry and Hutchison very much. Their positive ratings, if you look at positive negative ratings, they are both very high. 75% of Republican voters like both Rick Perry and Kay Bailey Hutchison. You know, it's not like that there's really two factions here. And they're going to choose on personality, and they're going to choose on who they like the most. And it really comes down to which one looks the most gubernatorial or senatorial and kind of stays out of the muck of nickel and dime mudslinging politics.
So Governor Perry is either about to be or is now the longest serving governor we've had in the state for a couple of hundred years. Do you think if he wins again that talk of term limits will really rear its head?
You know, the governor told me at one of his appearances with his Boy Scout book, I asked him how long he wants to be governor, and he just kind of stared off into space. He said, well, you know, Rockefeller was governor in New York for 16 years, and I think that'd be something good to shoot at. I think he really wants to stay governor until he's well into his 60s. I joke about how he wants to be governor for life, but I don't think that that's a real joke. I think he wants to continue to be governor. My gosh, when you can appoint all these people and to all these boards and control so much, as we've seen in the last month, you know, with the boards of regents and the state boards, everything that he controls, you know, why would you just retire and go to your condo in College Station?
Meanwhile, is there even any challenge for David Dewhurst as lieutenant governor?
Well, you know, the question for Dewhurst will be, you know, how the timing of the election falls. You know, right now, all the Republican ticket is waiting to see when, whether or when Kay Bailey Hutchison steps down. And if she leaves the Senate, then the odds are good that Dewhurst will run for Senate. He's kind of expected to run. That would open up races down the line. As long as she stays, and I think the worse her numbers are, the more likely she'll stay.
She's hedging her bets.
Right. As long as she stays, then there's no place for anyone else to go. Dewhurst can't run for Senate. Abbott can't run for lieutenant governor. There is no – if you're asking, is there a Republican opponent for lieutenant governor's race, no. The only Democrat running for – and we haven't even talked about the Democrats yet – but the only Democrat running for lieutenant governor is the owner of Katz's Deli in Austin. I don't see him as a formidable force at this point. My government teacher in high school always told me that the Speaker of the House was the most powerful person in Texas, the lieutenant governor is the second most powerful, and the governor has no power at all. The Democrats have failed so far to come up with a candidate for that powerful office of lieutenant governor.
We will talk more about the upcoming 2010 races in Texas with Bud Kennedy of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Right now, though, we want to take a break. I am joined by Jeff Whittington, senior producer of Think and host of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Chris. And we'd love to hear from you at 800-456-5372 or via the web at kera.org. It is the fall membership campaign, and we're taking just a quick break here to encourage you to call us to be the next new or renewing member of KERA.
You know, maybe this has happened to you. I don't drive very much, so weeks will go by before I have to fill up my car, and then suddenly I'll look down at the gauge and think, oh my gosh, I have to get some gas. Maybe it's that way with your KERA membership. Maybe you are sort of going along, listening to this drive so far and thinking, well, my membership's up to date. And then all of a sudden you think about the last time that you made a contribution, and it's been a year or a year and a half or 2 years.
We need some gas.
We need some gas. We run on money just like a car runs on gas. You can chip in for the drive by calling us right now at 1-800-456-5372. You can also make a contribution at kera.org.
KERA has expenses just like your household, just like any business. If you're a business owner, if you work for a company, that company has bills to pay. Well, KERA has all those bills to pay, electricity. We've got supplies. We've got maintenance on all the gear that keeps the station sounding good in your car or at your home or at your office. We've also got to pay for tower space rental so that we can broadcast, and we have to pay for the programs. The NPR national programs are about $1 million a year. This one is a little less than that, to bring you think. It's a little less than $1 million a year. But
indeed.
But every single contribution really is important, and that's why we need to hear from you right now at 800-456-5372. Or online at kera.org.
You know, the public in public radio is about who comes together to put it together. It's called public because we all have a responsibility as listeners for making sure that it exists. We cannot turn to sponsors to, sell you diet products or automobiles or anything else. The bulk of our funding comes from people just like you who listen and who say, yeah, I can do $20 a month. I can do $50 a month. I can do $5 a month. You know the amount that's right for you, but you do know that you listen all the time and that you derive a great deal of value. It's just a matter of sort of owning up to that and making the call. I tell you, the call's the hardest thing to do, and it only takes 2 minutes. Once it's over, it's like getting a shot. You think, that wasn't so bad. And then you have another great year of public radio protection everything else out there.
Inject yourself with a call to 800-456-5372. Everyone who donates today is entered into a drawing to win a Wendy Crispin catering deal. It's a gift certificate good for a catered dinner for 10 people or a cocktail party for 20, and it's going to be at your place. So Wendy Crispin Catering will come to your place, feed 10 of you, or provide drinks for 20 of you if you're the winner. So call 800-456-5372 or pledge online at kera.org to get in this drawing.
Again, our telephone number is 1-800-456-5372. If we've mentioned some kind of thank you gift or promotion and you didn't quite catch it, the volunteers will know what you need to know and can fill you in. You can also check all this information out online and make your contribution at kera.org. Back in a minute to talk about the governor's race with Bud Kennedy.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education, who can help you get ahead in today's tough economy. Hundreds of courses begin weekly this fall. Online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Bud Kennedy of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We are talking about the governor's race before the primary, which takes place in March. And, of course, the general elections are next November. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-933-5372 or send an email to think@kera.org. As you mentioned, Bud, we haven't really talked about the Democrats yet. In our defense, it doesn't seem like a lot of Democratic voters are talking about their candidates very much yet.
Well, the most powerful Democratic candidate is not really on anyone's radar yet. The candidate who could walk right into the race and become the Democratic nominee is Farouk Shami, the hair care executive from Houston. He has a $1 billion business. He's a bipartisan political hero. He's been saluted by Governor Perry for his business leadership. He's given money to both candidates. You know, he gave money to Kinky Friedman last time, and this time he is really seriously considering running. And because he could walk in and bankroll his campaign, you know, he is really a serious candidate for the Democrats to look at, simply because of the money he could put in that would lift up other Democrats down the ballot. The more voters he turned out, not only in a race against Governor Perry or Senator Hutchison, but the more voters that he turned out in the whole buildup of a campaign might help other Democrats. The Democrats, as we saw with Tony Sanchez, the Democrats are always interested if a candidate walks in and says, hey, by the way, I'm here to run for governor. I brought my own cash, okay? So Farouk Shami is really the figure on the horizon I believe he had a line the other day. He said, and I've only heard this third hand, but he said that he, as a hair care executive, he has to admire Rick Perry's hair. But he said the problem is not Rick Perry's hair, it's Rick Perry's brain. And so he's talking like a candidate. Right now, the two top candidates, we have Tom Schieffer from Fort Worth, the former Rangers executive, and Hank Gilbert from the Tyler area, who's a rancher and kind of, you know, populist, elbow-throwing good old boy who ran a rambunctious campaign last year agriculture commissioner. So, you know, right now those are the top two candidates. They're not setting about anybody on fire around the state. Schieffer has a lot of the Texas House supporting him, a lot of lawmakers from Austin. Gilbert has some of the Democratic grassroots support. And so it would be tough to say right now who's in front. In the Democratic primary, you always have to look to that there will be a runoff. Felix Alvarado is on the ticket. Felix Alvarado is a school teacher from Sunset High School in Dallas. He has no money. He will have no campaign statewide, but he's run several times, and every time his or his sister's name is on the ticket, his sister Maria Luisa runs for lieutenant governor sometimes, and the Alvarado name pulls about 12 to 20% of the vote every time it's on the Democratic primary ballot. So you have to think that there will be some votes there that are just South Texas votes identifying with the Alvarado name, and that may be enough to throw it into a runoff of whoever the top candidates are, Shami, Schieffer, or Ole Hank.
What about Kinky Friedman?
Oh, I forgot about Kinky Friedman.
You cannot
Friedman.
Forget about Kinky Friedman.
Friedman bringing the comic relief to this campaign.
Do you think that's all it is? Because he claims he's more serious this time around.
Well, and he is more serious. You know, he spoke to the Rotary Club in Fort Worth, and he made like two jokes at the beginning of his speech, and then the rest of the speech he talked about the death penalty, which is his passion, as you know, for years and years. He is going to be more serious, but the question is whether the Democrats are going to take him seriously. You know, they kind of already have their candidates. Even Farouk Shami comes in with some Democratic cred. You know, Kinky doesn't have the Democratic cred. He hasn't been to meetings, conventions, you know, met precinct workers. You know, my gosh, they had the Democratic conference, the National Democratic Leadership Conference in Austin about a month ago, and Kinky wasn't aware that it was even going on. It's like he's not very plugged in as a Democrat, and I think in a primary the celebrity factor of his novel writing kind of is beaten out by the fact that he's not a get down in the trenches Democrat. The people who vote in the primary are your grassroots Republican and Democrat campaigners, and they just don't like outsiders coming in.
Yeah, I wonder if they would even get over the fact that he drew a lot of votes away from Chris Bell in the last election.
Well, and that's actually a fallacy. That's a misconception. Mm-hmm. The exit polls after the last governor, you know, for those of you who And we know just by the great population growth here that like 15% of the listeners probably were not here 4 years ago.
But that's amazing.
But for those of you who were not in Texas 4 years ago, we had Republican Rick Perry, Democrat Chris Bell, and two independent candidates, Carol Strayhorn, who had been a Republican comptroller, running as a third-party candidate, and Kinky Friedman running as an independent candidate. Well, the misconception is that Kinky hurt the Democrats and that the reason Rick Perry was elected with 39% of the vote was because there were all these other candidates. Actually, the exit polls after that election showed that Kinky Friedman drew as many votes from Rick Perry as he did from Chris Bell. There were Democrats in the cities who voted for Kinky, but there were also a lot of rural Republican voters who simply didn't like Rick Perry, particularly over the Trans-Texas Corridor, and they chose to vote for Kinky Friedman. His vote was evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. Carol Strayhorn, who was a Republican during most of her career, actually hurt the Democrats more than Kinky did. Most of Carol Strayhorn's voters were Democrats, particularly from the education lobby, who chose her over Bell. And it was actually Carol Strayhorn who pulled Democrat votes away.
Let's talk for a minute about Tom Schieffer, because it seems that had he wanted to run as a Democrat several years ago and had some connection to George W. Bush, that might have really helped him. And now a lot of people think that he's having a tough time saying, yes, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, and yes, I've had an association with the former president.
Well, Tom Schieffer, who I've known since I was the moderator of a high school forum in Fort Worth in 1972 when he was running for re-election to the Texas House. So that's how long I've known him from the West Side. But Tom has the argument on his side. This is true that he has always been a Democrat. He's voted in every Democratic primary, run for the Texas House as a Democrat, supported Democrats, given money to Democrats. He has some Democratic credibility. It's just all from the 80s and 90s. He was the ambassador in George Bush's. Of course, he was the executive of the Rangers when Bush was the owner. And President Bush appointed him ambassador first to Australia and Japan. And you know, now his explanation is simply that he was proud to serve his country and that he wasn't serving the Bush administration. He was serving his country. He gives examples of other Democrats who served in Republican administrations as ambassador, and Republicans who served in the cabinet under President Clinton and other bipartisan appointees. He is trying very hard, and it is a tough sell to get some Democrats past the idea of he was the Rangers partner with George W. Bush and was ambassador with George W. Bush. But, you know, those of us who are old Fort Worth folks know that he has some old Democratic cred. He ran Pete Guerin's campaign when Pete was elected in a very tough Republican-Democrat race. That was a close race against Bob Lanier when Pete Guerin was elected to Congress, and Tom ran that campaign. I mean, he has been in the middle of every Democrat fight in Fort Worth. It just, he did not have the profile over the last 8 years of defying the president or defying the administration that gives you credibility now in the Democratic Party. That's where Hank Gilbert obviously can make some headway.
You touched on the Trans-Texas Corridor earlier, Bud, and I want to talk about that because now that it is dead in the water or dead on the prairie, however you want to put it, how might that be used against Rick Perry still in this election, or has the steam gone out of that and it doesn't matter anymore?
Well, there are people who are still bitter about it. There are people who are still bitter and suspicious. The same people in Texas who have always been suspicious that the Trans-Texas Corridor was really a secret scheme to merge Mexico with the United States. Well, those people are still suspicious, and they're always going to hold it against him. If Kay Bailey brings up financial ties, a lot of the funding, a lot of the money for Centra, the Spanish company doing toll roads, was handled by Rudy Giuliani's law firm, and that Rudy Giuliani has campaigned with Governor Perry. And, you know, there was even talk back when Giuliani was a presidential candidate, maybe Rick Perry would be his running mate in the last election. If Kay Bailey tries to tie that together, or Deborah Medina, then that kind of will make the Trans-Texas Corridor flare up again. The suspicion about it will never go away, and the fear it brings it brings up eminent domain issues. It is a fear for rural Texas. It brings up the whole rural versus urban resentment issue. And it just reminds rural voters that you can't always trust those big talkers and big guys in those big suits down in Austin. It's still a drawback to his campaign. It always will be.
Bud, will you talk for a minute about the divide that certainly does still exist between rural and urban Texas? And now we're seeing so much of urban Texas move to the left, but there is still an overwhelming number of people who are far on the right.
Well, you know, you see all the counties in Texas except Tarrant. The urban counties are all Democratic counties. But the saying used to be that for a Republican candidate, if you could win West Texas and break even in East Texas, then you could win an election. It really didn't matter what the cities did. Now the numbers are so overwhelming in the urban counties that we're starting to see some Democratic shift. But the question there really is, will there be any turnout? Will the Democrats who came out overwhelmingly for a very contested primary between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, how many of those who fought and screamed to get into their caucuses, how many of those are going to turn out to vote for Tom Schieffer or Hank Gilbert or one of the other candidates, for Eric Schami or whoever, against Rick Perry? The passion might be gone from the urban Democrats in this election. The split between urban and rural carries far beyond politics. In Austin right now, we have a governor from Paint Creek, Texas, outside of Abilene. Until this last term, we had a Speaker of the Texas House from Midland, and the leadership and the dominant leadership in Austin was all from West Texas. And so you get all these beautiful things for Texas Tech and all this money being funneled into highways that nobody uses in West Texas, where you have beautiful six-lane roads from Andrews to La Mesa or whatever
are used by
one truck every 10 minutes. But you have all this state money. Of course, the biggest way that money is drained off to rural Texas is just the simple funding of more than 1,000 school districts. The school districts in Rick Perry's home county, I think there are 7 school districts, 7 superintendents, 7 bus barns, 7 cafeterias. It's job creation for rural Texas, and that's something that I don't know if urban Texas will be able to turn around and rein in that money.
Bud Kennedy is with us, veteran journalist from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We will talk more about the governor's race after a quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. Jeff Whittington is with us now, straight in from Pledge Production Central. Hey, Jeff, how's it going in there?
It's going well, Chris. Actually, we have a great update to give everyone. So far, the membership campaign has raised $143,300. It is the second full day of the drive, the second full weekday of the drive. We did start on Friday. So thanks so much to each of you. If you've called 800-456-5372, if you've made your contribution online at kera.org, but if you haven't, we still need to hear from you. Of course, our true goal is your participation in this public radio service. It's a service you already use. It's a service that you spend your valuable time with. So spend a little bit of your valuable treasure on helping support it.
If you think about the things that you maybe buy on impulse, this is my favorite way to think about what you might spend on KERA. Everybody probably has a pair of shoes in the closet or a jacket or something that they picked up and have worn once or twice, and you get maybe 5 hours of wear out of that item. Who knows what you spent on it? Maybe it was $50, maybe it was $500. But if you think about the hours that you spend every single day with KERA, the value you derive, the information you get, the conversations it begins, just make one impulse purchase with KERA and become a member right now at 1-800-456-5372. It is something that you will continue to use every single day.
You get a lot of miles out of your public radio investment. Lori Hecker in Dallas believes it and has called in or joined online. Thank you, Lori. Thanks also to Catherine Atlasy in Plano, Marcy McMurtry in Dallas, Lisa Wax in Westlake, and Dr. Martin in Westlake, and also Lee Bedner in Allen. Thank you so much for your contributions here in the last few minutes or so. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 800-456-5372. The email, or rather the web place, is kera.org. You can contribute safely and securely there. And Chris, Wendy Crispin Catering is offering a special gift to the fall membership drive today. everyone who donates, either on the phone or on the web, will be entered into a drawing for a gift certificate that's good for a catered dinner for 10 people or a cocktail party for 20 people at your place. This includes food, drinks, and staff. It's valued at $1,300. Wendy's a KERA member who wants to encourage everyone to donate today, and I'd like to thank her for offering this wonderful gift. We're going to draw the winner today during Marketplace and announce that person's name. So call now, 800-456-5372, or join online to get at KERA.org to get entered in the drawing.
Just like KERA offers you instant gratification, we won't make you wait a long time to find out if you have won this fabulous prize.
That's right.
Which is always nice. 1-800-456-5372 is our telephone number. You can also get to us online at KERA.org to make your contribution. The amount is up to you. We do have this thing that you've heard us talk about called the sustaining membership. This is what a lot of people like, because you can make a really substantial contribution to the station and not really feel it in your budget. You know, we have people who are Friends members. That's $1,500 a year. When it's happening at $125 a month, that might be, it probably is less than what your cable bill adds up to, or your cell phone bill, or things like that. And it's for a service that contributes not only to you, but to your entire community. So consider that and give us a call now at 1-800-456-5372.
There are thank you gifts available at the Friends level, the $1,500 level. You can get 7,500 American Airlines Advantage miles if you join at that level. And I think if you use your credit card, and that's a great deal if you need just a few more miles to get ready for a trip or to use as a gift for someone. When you call 800-456-5372, you can get the details on that. You can check it out online as well at KERA.org.
We have lots of ways to say thank you. If that will inspire you to become a member, just ask the volunteer or look at them online. A lot of you say, I don't want a thank you gift. I just want all my money to go to KERA. We are happy to arrange that as well. We try to make this as easy and as convenient for you as we possibly can. And we try to give it to you in the form that you want. We also have this new thing called the Green Membership, relatively new, where you don't receive a lot of paper documents in the mail. Everything happens via email. So if you're trying to reduce your impact on the world and the amount of trash that comes to you, we are happy to comply with that. Our telephone number again is 1-800-456-5372. You can also go online and make a contribution at KERA.org. More talk about the governor's race in just a moment with Bud Kennedy.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education, who can help you get ahead in today's tough economy. Hundreds of courses begin weekly this fall. Online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Journalist Bud Kennedy is with us. He writes for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We're speaking this hour about the governor's race in Texas. Hard to believe we're talking about this, Bud, more than a year before it's all going to happen. But I guess these races are becoming almost like presidential contests, where really people have been talking about running for years now.
Well, more than a year before the race. But, I mean, when it comes down to it in Texas, usually the decisions are made in the Republican primary. Yeah. And so the early voting in that is only 4 months away now. We are 4 months away from people who will start to cast their vote for either Senator Hutchison, Governor Perry, or this little-known Deborah Medina. We mentioned her a minute ago. I want to bring up that, you know, in the last presidential primary, there were almost 70,000 Republicans who voted for Ron Paul for the Republican nomination for president. Well, if those 70,000 come back out, and, you know, many of those votes are pretty staunch votes, if those 70,000 came back out in the primary, Deborah Medina will pull 17% of the vote in the primary. There are not many voters in the Republican primary, and this is the thing that people don't realize, is that, you know, when it gets down to November, there will be 4 million voters, and it takes 2 million to win the election. But the primary that really decides the next governor of Texas, or has for several, you know, for several years now, the primary has a very small pool of voters. You know, the number of Republicans who voted last time was between 600,000 and 700,000. You know, Rick Perry won the nomination with 300,000 or 400,000, or it would take. I'll just say this time around, it will take 400,000 votes to win the Republican nomination and become, you know, the probable, the favorite to be the next governor of Texas. You know, 400,000 votes is all it takes. We often joke that Rick Perry's campaign strategy is to find the 400,000 orneriest people in Texas and get them to come out and vote for him in the primary and win the nomination. It almost can work.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Mark in Dallas. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Bud, you didn't even mention the most honest elected official in Austin, the man who brought down Tom DeLay, Ronnie Earl. I mean, he hasn't announced yet, but he's thinking really hard about it. Wouldn't he make a great governor?
I didn't mention Ronnie Earl. Ronnie Earl would definitely become a flashpoint in the election. He would bring a lot of passionate Democratic support and a lot of passionate Republican opposition. He would make it a very interesting race. In some ways, he could be a very effective candidate against Rick Perry. But if there is one opponent who could get Rick Perry and Kay Bailey Hutchison's supporters to come together and agree on supporting the Republican nominee, it would be having Ronnie Earl on the Democratic ballot. He would be the most controversial Democratic candidate in Texas since the Sissy Farenthold days.
Our email address is think@kera.org. That's where we hear from Richard in Arlington, who says, we are going to start an office pool on when or if Kay resigns from the Senate. Do you have any guess?
The poorer that Kay does in the polls, the slower she will be to resign from the Senate. I think, first of all, there's no reason for her to resign. You know, the only reason for her to resign is if it becomes a political liability, if people start saying, well, how can you be in Washington and why aren't you serving as well in Washington? Really her answer, can be that she is, serving out her term and doing the best she can and trying to go ahead and make this move back to Austin for the people of Texas. I don't think she's going to resign anytime soon. If she resigns after the primary in March, she said in the beginning, November. Then she says January. Well, if you stay till January, why not stay until March? It just doesn't seem to me like she's going anywhere soon. I will say that that is not in the best interest of Texas in the long run. No matter who you like in the primary, the fact is that power in the Senate and House in Washington is based on seniority. So if you have a senator or a representative who is going to leave, they need to leave immediately and get a new person in there building new seniority toward their future power role. So it is not in the best interest of Texas for her to stay longer. But that's in the long haul. And the fact of the matter is, politically, she's going to stay as long as she can.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Stephanie in Dallas. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi. My question is, if you think that Democrats like myself who plan to go out and vote for Kay Bailey Hutchison in the open primary will increase the numbers for the primary turnout. I'll vote Democrat later on, but I dislike Rick Perry so much, I'll vote for her in the primary just to hedge my bet.
And that is obviously the question of, first of all, is there a Democratic primary that will keep the Democrats at home? Maybe not. If enough Democrats pour into the Republican primary, it can make a difference. But if you look at the voters, I mean, some of these are the same voters who voted for Carol Strayhorn in the general election last time, and they didn't make that much of a difference. If the Republican primary is boosted from 700,000 to 800 or 900,000 votes, does that really pull Kay Bailey Hutchison over the top? Where it would make a difference is if someone like this caller doesn't vote at all in the primary and then goes out in the runoff because they're so angry at the possibility of Rick Perry being the nominee that they go out and vote for Kay Bailey Hutchison in the runoff. I think that might happen. I think that Kay Bailey might trail in the primary and wind up winning the runoff because of new voters coming into the runoff. That is real far-fetched, but that I think that's a possibility.
Given the fact that it is entirely legal in this state to vote in any primary you want, no matter what your pattern has been in the past, and incredibly easy because you don't even have to register, it is somewhat surprising that this doesn't seem to emerge more often as a tactic.
Well, they are always trying to get people to vote you know, in a different primary or for a different ticket, or, you know, trying to lure voters, kind of fake voters out by voting for the other party. My favorite example of this doesn't have anything to do with primaries, but the way Rick Perry got elected lieutenant governor, he had a tough race in 1998 against John Sharp. It was neck and neck. There was a libertarian candidate named Anthony Garcia. You know, Rick Perry's campaign funded radio commercials for Anthony Garcia in the Valley. Said all of us, we're all going to go out and vote for Anthony Garcia. Anthony Garcia pulled several thousand votes in Laredo and in the Valley. He wound up with 6% of the vote, and it wound up swinging that election from Sharp to Perry. So this kind of feint, this kind of, you know, pulling people from one party to another party is certainly not unprecedented.
Daniel from Dallas wants you to talk about Houston Mayor Bill White. He says, I hear he's raised $1.5 million this month just waiting for Kaylee Hutchison to vacate her Senate seat.
Bill White is a very frustrated man right now. He, he has lots of money. He has Warren Buffett on his side, and he has no place to go. You know, the question for the Democrats is, you know, how long will Bill White and John Sharp wait? Or should they wait? Should either of them jump into the gubernatorial race, or better yet, at the lieutenant governor's race, where the Democrats have no, you know, really, you know, active candidate right now? They both say they want to go to Washington. They both have strong candidacies. They both have a lot of support. But, you know, right now, I would say that election at this point might be in May, or it might not be at all. So we are not going to know what Bill White and John Sharp will do until we're well along in the March runoff, in the March primary.
Last thing I want to ask you about, Bud, is wild cards in this election. Is there anything you think that is sort of sitting there on the periphery, or anyone, and you mentioned Farouk earlier, but anything else?
Yeah, I've talked about wild cards all the way with Deborah Medina and Farouk Shami, and I mean, there are so many mystery things. You never know what Rick Perry is going to say next that is going to get him in trouble. You know, give him enough time. He's proven over the last couple of months with, you know, Kaylee Hutchison didn't have to criticize him over the last couple of months. It's just give Rick Perry enough rope and see if he gets in trouble. You know, the more he is in the spotlight, the more trouble he has handling it. And his own campaign managers will have to teach him to be a little more careful about what he says and to keep him from shooting off his mouth. If he winds up embarrassing himself, it will wind up costing him in the long run in the November race, if not in March.
You can read Bud Kennedy's work online and also in hard copy at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Bud, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you all for listening this last hour and also for becoming members of KERA or renewing your memberships. The telephone number for you to join all those good folks is 1-800-456-5372. You can also take care of this online at kera.org. We are having our fall membership campaign. I almost wanted to say spring because that's the last one we did. It's been a long time. We have heard from a great many of you, and we do want to thank folks like Jim Rogers in Corinth and Deborah Reich in Plano, Mark Taylor in Forney, Chuck Samuels in Coppell, Asha George in Dallas, and now I'm joined by Jeff Whittington, who's got more folks to thank.
Yes. Hey, thanks, Chris. Jennifer Nichols in Fort Worth, thank you so much. Sherry and Mansuski in Dallas, and Michael Lande in Dallas as well. They've done their part. We're still waiting to hear from you at 800-456-5372 or online at kera.org. It's so important that you get involved, and, you know, it's totally up to you. I mean, the hardest thing for us to do is to convince you to pay for something that you get for free, because it's free. This is a free service. Anyone can tune in, whether they can afford to support it or whether they cannot afford to support it. If you can afford to support it and you feel like you get something out of KERA every day, then please pick up the phone and call 800-456-5372, grab your credit card, give a contribution of dollars to this station, whatever is right for you, $120, $500. If you can do it, it would really help a lot right now.
You know, I think a lot of people can come up with a million sort of justifications. It's too much money. I don't want to spend money right now. I'm being really careful. We understand that. But you know, think in your mind about how much you use it. What is your justification for using this service every day and for sort of living your regular life and not becoming a member? And it might be a little bit harder then to make that argument to yourself. We're not saying that you have to, you know, give us your kids' college fund. You know the amount that works for you and your budget. And we are it's astoundingly appreciative of those of you who make the decision to do it. We understand that your money supply is not unlimited, but we also are not unlimited in our ability to provide programming if we don't have the money to do it.
800-456-5372, online at kera.org. Chris, you got to dinner. You ever go out to dinner? Family.
Very rarely, but it happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the other night I'm out to dinner and the bill comes, right? And, you know, my wife and I, we had a couple of drinks, we had a couple of entrees, we shared an appetizer. And then with tip and everything, the total thing was like $45. And it's astounding how easy it is to just go out and just drop $45. And it's not a, you know, fancy restaurant. It's just a regular restaurant, one that we frequent probably more often than we should.
Well, I've got four kids, so $45, you're getting off cheap.
Right, we're getting off cheap, right? So we're asking people to contribute $100 or $200. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to deny yourself going to dinner four times or two times. Yeah, I mean, it's just the illustration is, golly, it's so easy to spend money on things. Order a couple of pizzas or go to the movies or whatever it is you do with your disposable income. We're asking for you to make a donation to KERA because it's good for you. It's good for your community. It makes the service available for everybody, even if they can't afford to join the station, to support it financially. If they truly can't, it still makes it available for everyone. And it makes you and your friends and your family and your neighbors and people you don't even know better citizens of North Texas. So that's why I'm asking you to call. That's why I'm asking you to pledge online at KERA.org.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. I think, Jeff, maybe the issue is, you know, when you're thinking about whether you're going to join KERA and make a contribution, you think to yourself, well, what do I get? I already get the programming. And that's where you have to stop yourself. You already get the programming. And this is why we're asking you to pay for it. You're paying for the programming that you've been enjoying all this time.
Yeah, and you also might get something else. I mean, there are thank you gifts at various levels. You can get a thank you gift.
You can get a
mug or something.
If a gift puts you over the edge, yeah. We can throw tote bags and mugs.
There's a
and
Think
t-shirts
mug.
And
it's a $60 level thing. So if you join at $100, you can get a Think. If you join at $120, you can get two Think mugs. Someone is going to win a really special deal today because all day today we're entering everyone who joins on the phone or online into a drawing. Wendy Crispin Catering is offering a special gift. It's a special gift certificate good for a catered dinner for 10, so you and 9 people that you care about, or a cocktail party for 20 people. They're going to bring everything to your place, set it all up, include food, drinks, staff. It's valued at $1,300, this package. Wendy's a KERA member who wants to encourage you to donate today. So thanks to Wendy Crispin and Wendy Crispin Catering for this. We're going to draw the winner during Marketplace at 6:30 today. So call now, 800-456-5372. Join online at KERA.org, and you might win this fabulous catering package.
The call itself takes only 2 minutes. I always hesitate to like pick up the phone and make a call because, you know, sometimes you're put on hold for hours and you have to press a button here and press a button there. Typically, you get straight through to somebody, and typically it's one of our volunteers, and they are ready to take your information. So you're not going to be sitting there waiting for the phone. You will make the call, hear it ring a few times, and then you're straight in and making your contribution.
Or if you go online, you just fill in the field. It's just like making an order.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, you don't have to talk to anybody. It takes 90 seconds online. You put your name, your address, how you want to pay, how much you want to pay, whether you want a thank you gift. It takes a little longer if you want to shop through all the thank you gifts, which is totally fine. That's what they're there for. If you want a thank you gift, no problem. You put in your contact information, your credit card information, boom, it's done. And then you get an email saying thank you so much, and your dollars go to work for the programming that you're listening to right now and this afternoon. If you pledge right now, when you get in the car to go home this afternoon and you turn on 90.1 and you listen to All Things Considered, you can say to yourself, wow, I helped pay for that. And that's a pretty neat feeling.
You know who we have coming up next hour, of course?
Yeah.
Andy Williams.
The Andy Williams.
Yeah.
He's down the hall. He's ready to go. He's ready to come in here and talk and to take your phone calls and to, you know, we'll take emails as well, just like we do every day. And, you know, it's really cool to be able to bring these kinds of guests in here. This is a guy who headlined at Caesar's Palace for 20 years in Las Vegas. An unbelievable career. And he's here. He's going to spend some of his time talking so that you can listen. And you can talk with him. So what's that worth to you? Call us, 800-456-5372.
You can also make your contribution online at kera.org. We have many thank you gifts. One of them that we're offering right now with a credit or debit card contribution of $200 is a pair of tickets to see another American legend, B.B. King. He will be at the Nokia Theater in Grand Prairie on Sunday, January 3rd. That's 2010. You have to call to set that up, 1-800-456-5372, rather than going online because of the way we have to get the seats set up. But it's a great deal if you want to go see B.B. King and you want to support KERA. Do the whole thing. Maybe have somebody's Christmas present out of the way. And you're killing like six birds with one stone.
800-456-5372. Online at kera.org. And, of course, even if you get the tickets, you're still entered into this drawing to win this catering package. So don't wait. Call now, 800-456-5372, or join online at kera.org. And thanks.
The Think team includes assistant producer Betsy Lewis and engineer Nilofer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.